Welcome to the BitByte Podcast, your source for news and information about Bitcoin and the cryptocurrency space. This podcast is meant for educational and entertainment purposes only, and is not financial advice.
What's going on, Rick? How are you tonight?
I'm doing all right. How about yourself?
You know what? I am living my best life possible.
Well, that makes one of us.
Or am I? I actually, things kind of went crazy this week. I wanted to record with you after the EU put out a little legislation. Now, I don't understand how the EU works. I don't understand their legislative process per se, but did you hear that the EU lawmakers backed tough traceability rules on crypto transfers in a fight against money laundering? We talked, I think it was a couple episodes ago, that the EU did not ban proof of work mining.
Yeah, you mentioned something about that, so go ahead and expand on that for me.
So basically, there was a big concern that the EU was going to go after Bitcoin because it wasn't climate friendly. And so there was that law that had gone through, I want to say it was maybe beginning of March, maybe mid-March. However, they've gone back, and on March 31st, there was a draft or legislation that was going through to basically be able to trace. They want to know, it's basically something we were afraid of with Biden's law, right, in the United States, where they wanted to make it almost illegal to host your own wallets. You can do it, but you got to make sure and give up all the goods on your information on your wallet so that they can trace everything. They know where everything's going. Any unhosted wallet, which basically means it's a wallet that is not on an exchange, correct? So, I mean, that would be your own personal wallets of whatever type you may have. You may even have the wallet inside of your head if you've memorized your seed phrase. Like, you don't have to physically have a device. You can keep this stuff in your head. I don't trust my brain to do that. However, you are more than welcome to. So what they were wanting to do is any transactions that go through these unhosted wallets in the EU, which, again, I don't know how they're going to determine whether or not that wallet exists in the EU, considering it can exist in your head. They want to know where all the transactions are coming from, who sent you the money, that type of thing. If you send, like, Coinbase was one of the first ones, one of the big ones that was like, this is a bad idea. We don't want this as, it's a recipe for disaster, basically. The real world consequences are very negative for this thing.
Absolutely. I mean,
go ahead.
Well, that's the whole thing about Bitcoin is, you know, you're supposed to have, it's supposed to be kind of decentralized. But if you make everyone go to, you know, Coinbase or whatever thing to interact, I mean, the Canadians basically just showed us what they will do to your banking accounts if you do something politically that they disagree with. And that's kind of, they're trying to force that onto the Bitcoin market where they can shut it down through Coinbase or what have you.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And that's the big concern with this whole thing is that it goes back to them being able to limit your ability to transfer money. I guess so here's the thing though. They obviously do not understand Bitcoin and how the decentralized network works. If you don't give up your wallet, right? Like if you don't report that to the authorities, you can still transact peer to peer. No problem. Where you're going to get hit is you won't be able to transfer your money to an exchange to get it out into your fiat, whatever that may be.
Yes.
But otherwise, it's ridiculous.
Well, that would still be pretty devastating though, at least in the short term.
In the short term. Yeah. Until we get into a Bitcoin standard of some type. Yes, absolutely. That is going to be very difficult for people to navigate. However, if you're willing to trade with somebody or barter with somebody, or you know they're willing to take your Bitcoin, and it could be internationally, it doesn't have to be necessarily within the EU, then they can take your Bitcoin and they can provide your goods and services based off the Bitcoin itself. So there was a tweet that came out from Unstoppable Finance that says, unfortunately, the EP committee has voted in favor of the TFR passage that cracks down on individual privacy and wallets. The amendments are a huge setback for crypto in the EU and should be repealed in the trilogues. Here are some examples of the worrisome real-world consequences. And they just kind of continue to go on, you know, about some of what those issues are. Originally, it was supposed to have anything over 1,000 euros had to be declared, basically. But on the exchange level, it's anything. So it's only your individual wallets that if it's anything over 1,000 euros has to be declared, basically, where that money came from. However, how many wallets do they know that you have? There's just some weird things that go on about this type of thing.
Yeah. Well, it gets to how well can they enforce it?
Yeah. I mean, that's exactly it. I mean, if you're not willing to be open and honest about it, what can they really do? I mean,
it's not that we would do that either. I mean, we legitimately lost ours.
Yeah, I know. I mean, it was that horrible boating accident out at Navajo. And I didn't memorize my seed phrase and I didn't store it in like a triple secured vault somewhere. Like I'm a lush. I just had it like written down on a piece of notebook paper and I dropped it in the water and along with my ledger and everything. So yeah.
Yeah. We even lost whatever's left of that handle of Glenlivet too.
Yeah. That all went bye-bye too. Like it all went out of the boat at the same time, you know?
Yep.
Yeah. I don't know. But like I said, the weird thing is that it talks about how it's not law yet. So even though they passed the legislation and maybe it's got to go for another round of, maybe there's like two houses or something. I have no idea. And they've got to ratify it or something.
Well, I know, you know, as soon as it's ratified, it's not like it goes into law immediately, pretty much anywhere. So there's that time, that buffer in between when it gets ratified and I guess approved. I don't even know how the EU works, really. I mean, is there a president of the EU that signs stuff or rejects it?
I don't know either. I don't know if it's all just a democratic vote or how it works or there was a lot of negativity that was drawn towards this. Basically, there was a lot of people from the Committee on Civil Liberties that went to bat for this saying, hey, we cannot do this. This is wrong. Speaking of wrong, I don't know if you heard about this, not that it's necessarily somebody you want on your side per se, but Ted Cruz was talking about he wants to pass legislation to ban the Fed from developing CBDCs. Isn't that crazy? You know,
yeah. That's interesting. You know, the thing is, I couldn't trust Ted Cruz as far as I throw him, you know?
No. I can't either. That's why I'm just like, really?
That guy gets creeps, yeah.
He's the one that said that? Like, I mean, obviously there's a big, I really do think that the midterms that we're going to have coming up here pretty soon, I think there's going to be a lot of votes done basically solely on somebody's stances on Bitcoin and their friendliness to crypto.
I think there's going to be a bit. I think there's going to be a lot of anger too.
There is.
I don't know. It's the country's definitely not going in a good direction. I think that's almost universal, unless you're like the most hardcore Biden fan, which I don't even know if those really exist.
They do. They are out there. I know a few.
I've never seen one out in the wild, but you know, I'm kind of in Trump country. So,
well, and that's the hard thing, right? Like I don't think they'll openly advertise it, especially in our area per se.
No,
but they are out there. They are their keyboard warriors. They will tell you how horrible Trump was and how much better Biden is.
Just a bunch of stands out there.
I'm like, oh man, like yeah.
Well, anyhow, it's just going to be kind of fascinating how things go. The thing is, I think there is going to be kind of a red wave. I just don't think the Republicans are going to do much good when they get there. And basically anything I back that up with is anytime the Republicans have taken over, they've not really done anything, really.
Well, and I mean, and the same can be said. I mean, right now you got the Democrats with a majority almost across the board in everything, right?
Yeah, I mean, slim majority. Yeah, but yeah, they have it.
They're still not ramming shit through the way that you would think they would. I don't know. They're all, I don't know, jackasses.
I mean,
they're all donkeys. I guess. Let me correct myself.
They're all what?
Donkeys.
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 Well, I'd like to be hung like an elephant, but you know.
What were we going to say?
Yeah, I just don't know what to think about if the Republicans take over. I don't have any faith in them either. So,
no,
call me cynical.
It goes back to, you know, we've always kind of said, you know, they're both part of the same beast. I mean,
yeah,
regardless of how you break it down, like, they both still have the same goals. They just go about them slightly differently.
Yeah, well, you know, I actually will disagree with that. I think the Democrats have gone completely establishment, and the Republicans have, like, a streak of anti-establishment, maybe populism, you would say, thanks to Trump's. I mean, I'm not the hugest fan of populism, so I'm not saying that's necessarily the greatest thing ever, yeah. But I do think there's, you know, back when, you know, say 2008, when you look at Barack Obama and John McCain, there wasn't a whole lot of difference, or Obama versus Mitt Romney, not really a whole lot of difference.
Yeah.
I think there is more of a split between the differences in the Republican than in the Democratic Party now, which I've not seen before. And, you know, I don't want to say that the Democrats are evil, but they basically support everything that's evil right now. So it's kind of crazy.
No, I agree. And I mean, I guess I can kind of see what you're talking about, because they do have like how much of that is the Republican Party is like that, though? Like, if Trump basically got whitewashed away, and not necessarily whitewashed, but I mean, if he got washed away and, like, his traces were gone, would they just fall back in line with wherever they were before?
I think the Republican Inc. type people, like the neoconservatives, would definitely try and make that happen immediately.
Yeah.
Whether or not that can happen, I don't know. And, it's just whether or not they can take back control, because Trump really did. He wrestled that away from the neoconservatives. Love him or hate him, he did something pretty interesting there. So, I don't know. We'll see if it lasts. Yeah, or if they bring him back under that umbrella. Who knows?
I think that's a big question. I mean, the interesting thing about all of that is that it did show that there were a pretty staunch amount of Americans, and I'm not even going to say necessarily Republicans, that just question the establishment, right? And Europe is kind of an interesting place for that, because they do not trust their government in Europe. However, at the same time, you got the EU pulling stuff like this. And I think you're seeing a strong streak of that starting to basically the pendulum swinging the opposite way, especially in the United States, where the government, everything the Democrats were going to do was great. They couldn't do any wrong. And I think you're starting to see that pendulum swing backwards the other way.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously we saw it swing violently the other way with Trump. And I think we're starting to see a little bit more of maybe a balanced approach to something like that. I don't know. We'll see.
I think you're right. I think there's a swing from nationalism, or away from globalism and more towards nationalism going on in different parts of Europe, in America, like Great Britain with Brexit. I mean, it seems to be something's happening on that.
Yeah.
So, fascinating.
The question is, will we survive economically long enough to see that kind of come to fruition? You know?
Who knows? We can compare it to is the Soviet Union falling apart in the late 80s. I mean, just one day it was dissolved.
Yeah.
I mean, what's that going to look like if America does something similar?
Right. Yeah. I mean, we talked about that last time with Russia and China and their new world order agenda, right? Or trying to create it's almost like the polar opposite again, where it was like the communist bloc versus the free progressive movement of the socialism. Yeah. In a way,
yeah.
I don't know how else to put it.
Well, it was kind of like communism versus like democratic liberalism.
Yeah. With the and I still want to put a sprinkling of socialism in there because to me it's there.
Yeah.
So we'll see. We'll see what those prices. I mean, what's going to happen with food? I mean, Biden's already talking about food shortages are going to be a thing. I think we talked about that last time.
Yep.
What do you think is going to be the next harbinger of this economic collapse that we're seeing?
Well, I just don't know, but there's a lot of things that are happening with, you know, prices, inflation. I think it's killing, you know, your average everyday person. You know, it's going to be expensive just to drive anywhere. So vacations, things like that are going to go by the wayside. Eating out, it's killing demand all around, you know, because people's wages are not keeping up with the inflation. Mm-hmm. And I actually saw something where BlackRock's CEO said that inflation's only just begun. It's going to get much worse.
Yeah. Is that the Klaus Schwab or whatever his name is?
No, that's a different guy. He's probably pretty good buddies with Klaus, but a different guy.
Because from what I understand, it goes back to the Great Reset question, right? Like, they were talking about, they had mentioned at one point that, you know, you will own nothing and you'll be happy. A big reason why they're saying, from what I'm hearing, that there's this big housing shortage that is still going on is because BlackRock and similar ilk have bought up everything. They're buying those homes, and they're using the federal money to do that, a lot of that.
That's true. You know, what I think the two companies are BlackRock and Greystone or something like that. But yeah, no, they've been buying up properties left and right. And that's also been part of the inflation on the real estate side.
Yeah.
And that's really gone through the roof.
And then I wonder too, like how much, you know, when they've got when the landlords were getting that rental subsistence during the pandemic, yeah. I wonder what was the little tagline underneath? Like, what was the cautionary thing? Like, if you accepted that money, was it like, oh, if you foreclose, it's ours, you know?
Yeah. I don't know. You know, I'm not a landlord, so I didn't try that.
Yeah. Me neither.
No, there's always some type of fine print though in that kind of contract, right?
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah. I mean, and goes back to you're not going to own your home, and you're going to be happy. They're going to come to these people, and they're going to offer them, hey, here's a bunch of money. We're going to wipe out all your debt. You can stay here for a nominal fee.
Yeah,
and
you can live in this pod and eat bugs, and you'll be happy.
You're going to be happy as shit because we're going to put you in the metaverse, and you're just going to watch fucking Decentraland all day. Pardon my French. I got to beat myself on that. I apologize. Bitcoin is coming under attack from Greenpeace.
Is that right? What are they saying?
So Greenpeace has launched a campaign. They spent $5 million on this campaign. And the campaign is called Change the Code, Not the Climate. They claim that changing Bitcoin from a proof of work to a proof of stake would reduce Bitcoin's carbon footprint by 99.9%. Isn't that a good thing? Man, if only Greenpeace had been there from the beginning and gotten something in Satoshi's ear and been like, hey, you could reduce the footprint by 99.9% of the carbon needed for this by switching it to a centralized governance.
Yeah. I'm just like, I really don't like Greenpeace.
No.
At all. I think they're a bunch of neo-Marxists that push a bunch of climate crap as part of the Great Reset agenda. So yeah. I'm just going to get that out there. And I mean, what's your thoughts on this? I mean, it's proof of stake versus proof of work.
So here's my big concern. I mean, and you see this really, you know, we're seeing this with Ethereum as they push towards Ethereum 2.0. And they call, I think they're calling it Ethereum Merge is what they're trying to coin it as, but it's a horrible name. Just call it Ethereum 2.0. Anyways, what they're trying to, like, so here's original Ethereum Classic, back when it was released back in the day, it got a 51% attack. They decided to roll back some of that code, which you shouldn't be able to roll back any type of proof of work code, but the code was so centralized at the time that they're able to roll it back, go back and change these transactions, right? And they split it off at that point, and you got what was called Ethereum and then Ethereum Classic. One chain continued on its own down the road. The other one continued on down its road. Bitcoin, on the other hand, like, I mean, basically, the reason why Bitcoin is so amazing and what the magic is of Bitcoin is because no single one person controls it.
Yep.
You know,
it's robust.
It's robust. It's built to be the tank, right? I talk about this all the time. It's not fast, but it's slow and it's good at what it does. But nobody can change it. I run a node for Bitcoin. You can run a node for Bitcoin. You can mine Bitcoin at home. All still contributing to the same labors and work that everybody else is. And it's the consensus of all those computers all across the globe saying that, yes, this is what we want. Whenever you go to proof of stake, you're basically pulling all your resources into one decentralized one centralized platform that basically holds onto those coins and is able to spit out more coins that way. But it's got a single point of failure at that point.
Yeah.
And I guarantee those types of services, especially when you're looking at proof of stake, you're probably looking at some sort of Amazon web server, you know, AWS. And if they decide to pull the plug on your proof of stake, goodbye.
Yep.
Bitcoin does not have that because the server farms and the servers that you have, that I have, the nodes that we run, the miners that you run, that's what is the network. It's not located on an Amazon web server somewhere. It's millions of computers all communicating together and working towards a single goal. That's why I don't think you can go to proof of stake as opposed to proof of work. I mean, that's the beauty of Bitcoin.
Well, like I said, they're kind of a part of the Great Reset agenda. And I think one roadblock that they do have is Bitcoin.
Yeah.
And I don't think they're going to get anywhere with this publicity stunt, but you know, that would be part of their agenda. If they could get it centralized, then they can control it again, right?
Yeah. They talk about in this article that I was looking at here, this competition is known as proof of work mining. It is a work in an ever expanding game of hungry hippos. The more players that join the contest, the more work each hippo needs to do in order to win anything. If a new hippo with green intentions joins the game, everyone at the table has to work harder. Players powered by coal in Kazakhstan or fossil gas in Texas then belch out extra smog. Which to me, I think part of that is true, but at the same time, you want your electricity as cheap as possible. If they can push towards renewable energy, then I don't think, I mean, this is nothing. I mean, if you can get renewable energy and it's cheaper than your traditional forms of energy, why wouldn't you want to go to it?
Well, that's the thing with Bitcoin too, is if you are only profitable if you're mining Bitcoin, if you're using the most efficient, cheapest form of energy that's available, right?
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's why you see such a big outflow of mining equipment appearing at hydro dams and stuff like that.
Yep.
They want, wind power. They want all that.
Yeah, or even natural gas, you know, instead of just completely burning off the flare gas or whatever, they're sending it through miners.
Did we talk about that last time that Exxon started doing that?
I think you mentioned it.
Yeah, I think they're moving forward with that. They've got some stuff in the Dakotas going with it. And I mean, of course, this whole thing with the proof of work, it's a feature of Bitcoin. It's not a bug. And I think I saw a post the other day where Neil deGrasse Tyson was getting schooled on Bitcoin. Like, he didn't understand it or he had questions about it. So he was asking some guys about it, you know, well, what if aliens came down and they just started mining all the Bitcoin with all their vast superior computer power? It's like, well, that's what the difficulty is about, the difficulty adjustment that it takes place. Because if it is getting crunched that quickly, that fast, then it's going to make itself harder. It's going to adjust itself. I mean, yeah. And like, maybe, who knows, aliens may have some shit that's so like out there that like the difficulty can't adjust, but that's what it's supposed to do.
Yeah.
Anyways, I think it's, I just think it's cute. $5 million, you think that's going to do anything?
Yeah, I don't know.
To what is now a $2 trillion industry? Yeah, I don't think so. They're not going to pull the plug for $5 million. Suck it, Greenpeace. Whoa. And then did we talk about the 19th million Bitcoin was mined this weekend?
We have not.
2 million left to go. 90.47%, I think, of the Bitcoin has now been mined. It now exists.
So the schedule is to 21 million in, what's the last 2 million? It's going to be over the, what, how many years?
So we are in the year 2022. Ballparking right now, they're estimating the final Bitcoin will be mined in 2140. So basically, 90% were mined within the first 13 years. And then it's going to take another 120 years to mine the last 2 million.
Nice.
I mean, your kids may see the end of that.
No.
I don't know, though.
Who knows? Well, I mean, yeah, we just don't know what technologically what we're going to have, but that's just kind of fascinating. And, you know, we were talking about the economy crumbling, and right at this moment, Bitcoin becomes that much harder to mine.
Mm-hmm.
Right as things are looking like pretty shaky. I mean, I don't know if Satoshi was a freaking fortune teller, but he looks pretty brilliant right now to me.
Every time you look back at the code and you're like, oh, you already planned for this? It's like, damn, that guy was on his game.
Yeah. I just don't think it's one person, though. This is just so brilliant.
We know already, like, he was standing on the shoulders of other people because there was stuff that he was working on from other people's work previously.
Yeah.
But he's the one that was able to put it together. And yeah, you're right. I don't know if it's one person. I don't know if it's a group of people. I don't know if it was a CIA think tank operative that kind of was like, this is genius. I'm going to release it out in the wild and see where it goes. I have no idea.
As a matter of fact, it could be from Davos and it's part of the Great Reset.
Yeah.
We don't.
It could be. I mean, it could play. So, and I mean, and that's, oh man, my conspiracy brain gets going on stuff like that, because that goes back to what I was talking about, the reset. If you're not going to own anything, and they're like, because I mean, we're seeing this big birth of the metaverse and all those types of things that are taking place. If you're not going to own anything in the physical, you'll have all your possessions will be in the digital. And you'll be more than happy to have it all.
Depends. The metaverse better be pretty awesome.
Yeah, I'm gonna be golfing on Mars.
Maybe that's the deal. Maybe the real world's gonna suck so bad everyone's just gonna go into the metaverse to escape.
Ready Player One. Yeah,
there you go, baby.
Yeah. Anyways, Bitcoin conference is coming up April 6th through the 9th in Miami. I'm expecting a lot of big news to come out of that thing.
Sweet.
You know, we should try to go one of those sometime. I think it would be fun.
Yeah, I just need a little bit more heads up than 2 days.
Yeah, no, I agree. I agree. I need to make sure my wife pays her taxes. That way I don't have to pay them for. Then I probably could too. But anyways, did you have anything else you wanted to add?
Oh, man. I don't know, but got to do something. Shot color for the wife if she doesn't pay her taxes this year, because next year we're going to Miami or wherever the heck this conference is.
It's probably gonna be in Miami again. That's where they held it last year. And so last year, that's where Nayib Bukele, the president of El Salvador, announced that they were going to go on the Bitcoin standard, or again adopt it as a legal tender. They're promising more countries are going to announce that at the Bitcoin conference this year. everybody's really psyched for Bitcoin price coming up. I don't know. I don't know where it's going. Usually whenever you have that big of a herd mentality saying one thing, it's usually better to think the other. But it seems like we've been in a lull long enough that I think it's time for a little bit of a breakout.
Well, sometimes we give end of the month predictions. So, like, say a couple of days after the Bitcoin conference, where do you think the price is going to be?
Oh, man. It's so funny because we have all this great news that keeps on coming out. And we keep on getting, we're seeing the same patterns over and over again. So, I mean, just you got to keep in mind, there's 2 million Bitcoin left on exchanges for people to buy. There's probably 46 million millionaires in the United States. There's not even enough Bitcoin for each one of them to be able to have one. We're down to maybe 4 million that are available. And, well, 2 million in the future, 2 million currently. 6 million are probably lost forever. What does that do numbers-wise? I mean, if you got companies or, you got countries that are going to start to accept it and put it on their balance sheets. You got companies doing the same thing. Where's the crunch going to come from? Like, what's it going to be? What is going to be that catalyst where it just pushes it way over the top? I don't know. But I'm going to say we're going to hit at least 51,250. That's my number.
Okay. I say 55.
55. Oh, wow. So you're more optimistic than I am.
I just have a feeling there's going to be lots of announcements by the end of this that it's going to do quite well.
Yeah.
That's my guess.
For sure. I think you're right. And I mean, and we may, like, I'm hearing like everything saying that we're going to be by end of May, we're supposed to be back up in that $69,000 range and stuff like that. I don't know.
69,000.
Nice. So we'll see. Yeah. We'll need to see. We may have to put up another episode at some point in between here during the conference. Maybe we can gauge this and see a little bit more of what's going on. Talk about some of the announcements that we got coming out, depending on when we can get together again. So.
Absolutely. And then maybe a recap after it's all said and done.
Yeah, for sure. I'm going to be following the news on it as much as I can. So I'm pretty excited for it. Did you have anything else you wanted to add?
I think I'm good.
All right. Thank you all for listening. We hope you've enjoyed. I know this one was a little bit long, but there was quite a lot to talk about. So,
indeed.
There's always a lot to talk about when it comes to Bitcoin. So anyways, that's what it is. Laters.
Peace.